Welcome to the Rock of Ages Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Israel Soto. For more information about this podcast and other resources, visit rockofagesaog.org.
Rebuilding the gates. It's what we've been talking about for the past several weeks, and we're going to continue today. Is that all right? Amen. I believe that this message is very relevant right now because we're talking about salvation. We're talking about the characteristic of salvation, the attributes of salvation, how salvation should look in our lives. Our passage of choice comes out of Nehemiah chapter 3. And of course, I've given you the introduction more than once, and I won't do that anymore. But I begin to talk to you about the 10 gates that is mentioned in this passage, in this testimony. And we're using them to find the characteristics of salvation. And as I said, and I'll only say this, is that we know that salvation today is so abstract in the lives of people. Anyone you talk to, regardless of how they live, they could be smoking a marijuana joint. They could be drinking a beer or alcohol. They could be out there doing this and the other and say, are you saved? Absolutely. I believe in the Lord Jesus. Salvation has lost its meaning. Salvation has lost its identity. That today everyone is saved. But are they saved? Are they biblically saved? Because there's only one kind of salvation. And that's the salvation that is written down and grafted down in God's holy word. And it'll be best for every one of us here and on social media to take an introspection, if you will, or inside inspection of how we are living our lives and what we have designed our salvation to look like. And you must be able to take your salvation and place it on God's word, and it should fit like a nice gear. But if it doesn't fit, it's not God that messed up. And this is what this whole message, the premise of this message, is all about. We spoke about the sheep gate. The first thing that we need to know is understand that there must be sacrifice. That's where people brought the sacrifices into the holy city. And I spoke to you of two sacrifices that people today must accept and condition themselves to receive. And that is one, the sacrifice of self. That is, you must lay your life down for Christ. You can't live your own life. You must surrender unto the Lord that He might then indeed begin to lead you in life. And the second is to accept the sacrifice, the holy Lamb and precious Lamb of God. We spoke then about the fish gate. And this is where the merchants of the sea would come and bring their supply into the city. And that speaks to us of service. Salvation comes before service. And this is something that you and I, ladies and gentlemen, need to embrace as well in salvation. Some of us have done nothing in church. Some of us have never occupied ourselves doing something for God. Some of you maybe, again, are witnessing, and that is service, and that's a good thing. But in the church, do you notice that we're always lacking ushers? You always notice that we're lacking teachers? You notice that we're always lacking children's ministers? We're always lacking Sunday school? We're always lacking people to serve. Why? You know, statistically, it's said that now 10% of the people in the church are the ones that maintain and serve in the church. And the rest come, enjoy the service and go home and know nothing of us staying back to repair this water line that broke or something that lights that broke or whatever. Now, I'm not scolding you. I'm just waking you up and I'm telling you that's great purpose, because when you occupy in the Lord, you stay in the Lord. Idle minds are no good. But when you occupy, even that service you offer unto God, that helps to keep you engaged with God. Amen? It helps you to keep. Yeah. It engages you with God. You know that you're committed to serve Him and to live for Him. Then I spoke to you about the Sheshana gate, which is the old gate, and we apply this to how today in our society, this progressive world that we live in, that many have taken the word and changed it and applied it and made it relevant to every young person and everyone, whether it's right or wrong. Translations all over the place. And we've left behind the old gospel. And now we have shaped God's word to be nice and cool and people just hanging out with Jesus, man. He's cool. And they've taken that salvation so light. And they've taken God's word as, you know, I read this and it speaks about consecration. Nah, that's old stuff. Let's talk about blessing. Let's see how God wants to bless me because he loves me the way I am. I know, Mom, I'm LGBT, but I don't want to talk about that when it speaks about Romans chapter 1, how it's an abomination. No. Don't go there. Change that book. Get it out. That's old gospel. And the world today, venues filled with people that have forgotten the gospel, the old gate. Jeremiah said, stand at the crossway and ask for the old path. Walk in it and you will find rest for your soul. But if you continue to read, you see, this problem is not only ours today. It's happening even in the time of Jeremiah. It says, ask for the ancient path and walk in it, and you will find rest for your soul. But you said, we will not. They said, we will not. And today the world says, we will not submit to God's word. Tear that old gate out. We don't need that. We need new gates. We need remote gates. We need stuff. We need good genies up and down. We need good things. We don't want that old gate. It doesn't fit. It demands too much. That's why people don't like to come to church, because there's commitment. You see, and God's word will never change. Though the heavens and the earth will change, his word remains forever. And that means that if you want to enjoy the blessings of the Lord, you will have to follow his word. Follow his word. Seek the Lord. He's written down and given us a trailway to heaven. There are not many trailways to heaven, but his holy word will lead us there. Read the word. How many, the last time that you sat down at home to open God's word to read it? When was that? This morning, we'll go to another gate. We'll speak about the valley gate. Nehemiah 3 and 13. Hanun and the inhabitants repaired the valley gate, and they built it and hung its doors and bolts and bars and repaired 1,000 cubits of the wall as far as the refuse gate. The valley gate. When we speak of valleys, we speak of low places. There are pinnacles, heights, like as in a mountain, and then there are valleys that are low. And so the implication here is simple. If there are people who walk on the heights of mountains, if you will, and there are those who live in the valleys. I want to apply this particular idea, if you will, to humility and arrogance. Two totally different things. Arrogance, those that always walk on the pinnacles. Look at you down the line of their nose. And then there are those who are humble at heart, who walk around you and You find a character that embraces you and loves you and understands you. The Valley Gate reminds us of us embracing the attitude of humility in our Christian lives. And it fits well with the whole idea of salvation. Because for a Christian, it's not possible to enter into the sheep gate with an arrogant, prideful heart, because it speaks of sacrifice. There is no bending of knee amongst the prideful. A Christian, neither through the sheep gate nor through the gate of service, can he walk into the city. Because the arrogant is to be served, never to serve. For a Christian, nor can we expect to be made new creatures in Christ Jesus until we have embraced and walked through the gate of humility. In the church, us as believers, there is no room, ladies and gentlemen, for arrogance. Somebody say amen. There is no room for pride. There is no room for self-exaltation. There is no room for unrighteous judgment or the belittling of people, thinking less of others. This is a perfect message and a perfect gate to talk about this morning. Because of the society we live in today, there is such a spirit of arrogance in our world today. There's such a spirit of people feeling they are greater than others. How can I prove this to you? This is why we have the race of creeds and nationalities in this world today. Our nation fights today, and we see this race as a race to see who is superior amongst other races. And it's horrible to see, ladies and gentlemen, it happens in TV and it happens in the city openly. No need to mention that this fight is now to make white less, become less white. The race is to make our people of color feel like minorities and less. The idea is to make Asians, Hispanics, and Mexicans, and all creeds of this world less than your particular race. Where is this birthed? In the hearts of the proud. In the hearts of the arrogant. The self-righteous, filled with foolish pride. The main Hebrew root word for pride occurs in scriptures 23 times in the Old Testament, referring to arrogance and those who are insensitive to the needs of others. Pride in scripture, and everywhere you find the mention of pride, was seen as the attitude and conduct that led to a man's, to a family's, to a city's, to a state's, to a nation, and to a world's downfall. The examples, 2 Chronicles 26 and 16, it speaks of Uzziah's hardened heart. He said, but after Uzziah became powerful, his pride led his downfall. He was unfaithful to the Lord his God, entered the table of the Lord to burn incense on the altar of incense. You know what he was doing? He was taking the position of the priest and saying, those guys are nothing. I can do it myself. Pulls out his cricket to light the altar of God. I'm Uzziah. What is a pastor to me? What is anybody else to me? I can do anything in the church. I'm Uzziah. And in his pride, he went and overcame and stepped over the authority that God had placed in the church. And because of that, we see his downfall. And they confronted the king and they said, it is not right for you, Uzziah, to burn incense to the Lord. That is for the priests, in verse 18. The descendants of Aaron who have been consecrated to burn incense, leave the sanctuary, for you have been unfaithful and you will not be honored by God. What got him to do that? Arrogance, pride. He walked up here and made everybody else down here. We have the story of Nebuchadnezzar in Daniel 5 and 19. Because of his high position, he gave him all the nations and peoples in every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he would put to death. And those he wanted to spare, he spared. And those he wanted to promote, he promoted. And those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But then his heart became arrogant. Everybody say arrogant. And hardened with pride. And he was disposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. And you know what happened to him? If you continue reading, you'll find that the Lord hunched his back over. I can't do that because of my back. But it hunched his back over. And his hair grew, that of wings, and his nails grew like claws. And then sent him out to the fields. And for 7 years, he ate grass with the cows. The king was eating grass with the cows because of arrogance, because of pride, because I am better than you, because I'm Hispanic. No, because I'm white. No, because I'm black. Oh, because I'm Asian. Oh, because I'm Mexican. I am German. I am this, and suppressing other people. Proverbs 16 and 18, well-versed passage in Scripture says, pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. So many other scriptures here, from Psalms 10:4, Proverbs 11:2, Jeremiah 49 and 16, Proverbs 29 and 23, Isaiah 2 and 7, Daniel 4 and 37, all speaking, paralleling pride with downfalls. How being conceited destroyed a man. You see, pride puts you in the place of God. And nobody sits on God's throne. I know of one who tried that thousands of years ago. When in his heart he said, I shall become like him, and tried to enthrone himself. And the Lord was aroused and got up from his throne and took him by the neck and cast him down like a meteor from heaven. And today he whips his tail, not because he's angry or whatever. It's because he knows he has no choice anymore. He is out. He is condemned forever. When before they used to call him the morning star. But now the Bible says that in that day, the people of God will pass by him and look at him and shake their head and go, psst. All because of arrogance and pride. Romans 1 and 30. Not from Christ. This is not from Christ. Pride is not from Christ. Slanderers, God-haters, insolent, arrogant, and boastful. They invent ways of doing evil. They disobey their parents. They have no understanding, no fidelity, no love, no mercy. All they know, God's righteous decree, that those who do such things deserve death. They not only continue to do these very things, but they also approve of those who practice them. Tell me, does this not sound like what's going on upstate? Does this not sound like what you see on television? People just thinking of evil things. Thinking of ways to suppress the lives of people around them. Can I give you a short testimony? We're running late. That's okay. We've got several gates to go. Maybe we'll just walk through this gate this morning. I really want to engrave this because I know that you know people that walk this way. And we need to protect ourselves from our heart ever hardening into a place of arrogance. I remember several years ago when the Lord called me in the ministry, I went to Houston for a conference that I was mandated to go to. And in that church, and I'll try to make it as quick as possible, we got there, there was all young ministers, as I was young back then. We sat there and this gentleman, the pastor of the church, was given the invitation to speak to us. He's now with the Lord. His name was Earl Banning. He's got a beautiful church in Houston. Now his son pastors. But he went up there, and at this time, he's already of old age. And he walks up there, and he looks at us. There was probably a couple of hundred of young ministers just coming into ministry. And he speaks to us, and he begins to make us feel at home. But then he got to his message, which he just read a passage I don't remember, but it was a conversation he had, and he gave us a testimony. He said, when I got here to this church, Braeswood Assembly, he said, in this church, we had nothing but people like me, and he was referring to color. He was an Anglo gentleman. The Lord called me to minister to people. He said, I came to preach the gospel, and I began to preach with all my heart, and people began to hear that we were here, and all of a sudden we had a black family come on in, and then we had an Asian family come in, and then we had a Filipino family come in, and they started coming, and the church began to grow. And I began to preach every week, and finally, after a while, the board of those entrusted with the church Board of Trustees called him and they said, hey, Pastor, you're doing really good. Great job. But listen, let's try to keep our church like us. And he didn't understand at the beginning. He said, like us, Christians? No. Like us. It's been like us for several years now. The pastor before has gone and passed away. Now you're here and you're doing good. It's growing, but we're attracting too many people that are not like us. He said his heart was broken. He said, okay. So he went Sunday morning and began to preach again under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And people started coming in. And all of a sudden, from a couple of hundred people, so many people started coming in. And it was just a kaleidoscope of colors. People of all nationalities coming into his church. And he said in between a service or two, he'd kind of stumble a little bit and didn't know how to say, we only want whites. But he couldn't. And the church began to grow and they called him back and they said, don't you understand, sir, that this church, we want it to remain like us. He said, I'm not inviting anybody else to come. Just I'm preaching. But they're coming. Well, somehow figure it out as a pastor and let them know that we want the church to remain like us. And he prayed and he said, I contemplated maybe leaving because this was not the church I needed to be at. But something inside him began to well up. He said, no, I will not leave. And he came back Sunday, began to preach again, and more people had heard, and the church began to fill up. And then he made an altar call. And the people rushed to the altar. And as he was ministering to them, he saw black, white, Asian, yellow, all the people inside lifting up their hands and saying, Father, we love you, Father. We praise your holy name, Father. He began to walk. He began to pray for people. And after the service, the ushers came, the board of trustees came again. He said, I guess you're not going to understand. He said, no, I will not understand, but you will understand. They may be from different nationalities in different parts of the world, but they all have one Father. And I'm so happy here today that we have people from Africa. We have people from the Philippines. We have people from the Ukraine. We have Hispanics. We have Mexicans. We have people from all out of state. We have people from other countries. You know, at one time before COVID, we represented 14 countries here in Rock of Ages. And I'm so happy to have all my brothers and sisters from all walks of life. There is no arrogance in this heart. I always tell people when they try to say certain things, I say, hey, remember always, it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. I said, it's all level ground at the foot of the cross. There are no supreme races. There are no supreme races. There are only those who have been created by one Father. We are all His children. The Valley Gate. So important in our salvation. 1 Peter 5 and 5 as I begin to close this morning. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Yes, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Humble yourself. You see, some people, even in their walk with God, don't understand that principle. But don't feel too bad. This is not something in 2021. This even was in Bible days. The days of Paul, Paul had to rebuke the arrogant in the church. As we find him speaking to the church at 1 Corinthians 4 and 6, he says, now brothers, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit. That they were the teachers of that time. And they were brothers. They loved each other. And what he is saying is, me and Apollos don't think like you guys. We're your teachers and we could probably feel a little bit more educated and smarter than you, but we don't. We apply humility to us, ourselves, as an example unto you. He said, I have applied these things to myself and Apollos for your benefit so that you may learn from us the meaning and saying, do not go beyond what is written. Then you will not take pride in one man over against another. For what makes you different from anyone else? What do you have that you have not received? And if you did receive it, why do you boast as though you did not? What makes you bigger than anybody else? You see, if you cannot be humble amongst people, you expect us to believe you humble yourself before God. It doesn't work that way. But it exists today. In churches all over the world and outside of the church, the arrogance today is what's killing our nation. People suppressing. That's what socialism is all about. It's about suppressing the people and putting them in a box. And you see, you hear my voice? Yeah. Then you obey what I say because I'm the man. There are certain authorities that God placed, yes. When I look at myself as your pastor, I have a call in my life and God has called me to lead you. But you've never seen me. Have you been before me so I could look down at you? I'm just like you. I have received of God just like you. I pray to go to heaven just like you. I walk the same measure of salvation as you. My promise is to inherit the kingdom of God just like you. I have a calling just like you have a calling. But that calling was not seasoned with arrogance. It was seasoned with humility. Say amen, church. Never to make vain display of ourselves. Pride is the destruction of self. Pride is what makes that person a hero every time. Pride is what puts emphasis on self and reveals only their pride. And pride will pervert the view and the truth of salvation. We want to be saved. Time has gotten away. We have more gates to go through. Understand that the gates that I'm speaking about, ladies and gentlemen, all apply to our lives, because we want to enter into the holy city. We want to enter into the family of God, where God dwells. And I'm not giving you these gates because there are many ways, but all these gates are compound to one, things that we need to embrace in our lives. You understand that this morning, yes? I want to be saved. And especially now more than ever that I see the signs that is going on. Jesus is coming. Would you stand with me? Jesus is coming. As I ask you to bow your head, maybe there's someone here this morning. I never like to finish without making an invitation. Maybe there is someone here who has never said yes to Jesus, and you'd like to this morning. Would you raise your hand up to heaven so we can pray for you? Someone that would say, I need Jesus, Pastor. Anybody here this morning that would say, I need Jesus, raise it high where I can see you. Thank you, Jesus. We all need Jesus. Can you say amen? We all need Jesus. Let us throw away foolish pride. Even in the simplest way, at home, with our brothers and sisters, with our friends, let us throw away foolish pride. Lest we, by some chance, that pride begins to fester in our lives and becomes part of our character. We don't want that. We want to embrace humility. Humility has knees. And in humbleness, one can bow before God and say, Lord, be my Savior. Father, we worship you this morning. And we thank you for your goodness. Father, we've been going slowly through these gates. And I pray today, Father God, that every principle we have learned we can apply to our lives, for they are true entrances into the holy city. Those are the things that you expect to find in our hearts, God, that would allow us to come in and belong to your body of believers. And what's beautiful, Father, that in that city, right in the center, we find the Holy of Holies, where those who dwell in that city can freely approach the throne of God. There is no jumping over the walls. There is no digging under the walls of the city. There is no carving holes on the walls of the city to make your way in. As many have suggested, you can't fly into the city. You have to go in through the gate of sacrifice, the gate of service, the gate of your gospel, your word, and the gate of humility. Help us that you might find this acceptable and agreeable to you. And we can truly say today, we are saved. And with confidence, regardless of what's going on in the Middle East, regardless of what we see happening in the streets of our nation, Father, we will not lose sight of salvation. And know that before this is over, and at your time, you will come for us, and we will be identified by you as people who obtain these things in their heart. We love you and we worship you. Thank you for us being saved today. In the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Give the Lord a praise this morning.
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. Join us next time for another uplifting message. If you'd like to support this ministry and the reaching out of others, you have the opportunity to give at rockofagesaog.org/give.